page 811. We read verses 19 through 24, these words continuing to urge us to honour the Lord and to trust in Him, and not to be taken up with the things of this world. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And the text for our sermon comes from Exodus 20 and verse 3. It is the words of the first commandment. If you want to have it open in front of you, page 61 in the provided Bibles. You shall have no other gods before me. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, one old-time preacher was heard to remark, "It's all right when I preach about the sunset. And it's all right when I preach about Jesus and the little children, but it seems like a kind of coolness comes over the congregation when I preach on the commandments." We've noted out at camp that there has been a trend in recent decades to either minimize or not include at all in worship services mention of the law and sin and confession, and instead to fill services with lots of praise and grace and prosperity. But as we saw last Sunday, while the Lord Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, as in the need to obey the law in order to earn God's salvation blessings, we must still master the law of God by the way of the Spirit. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ knew the Scriptures and obeyed God, so we must use the law of God as a guide for thankful living. So today we come to the commandment that has been called the North Star of the Ten Commandments. Sailors in the Northern Hemisphere, if they want to be guided by the stars, know to find the North Star because it always points north. Once they know where the North Star is, they can then work out all of the other points on the compass. Well, the first commandment is the North Star of the Ten Commandments. It is this commandment that determines every other point of human conduct. The attention that you give to this commandment will directly influence your attention to all of the other commandments. So the commandment is, as we see it before us, you shall have no other gods before me. And our two points this afternoon are, first of all, the positive implication of this commandment is that we must have God. And then secondly, that we shall have no other gods before Him. So first of all, you must have God for your God. And this command comes to us from God. He has revealed it to us. So this means the first part of having God as your God is recognizing God as He has revealed Himself. And God reveals Himself in two ways. He reveals Himself by what we call general revelation. Think of Romans 1 verse 20. God's eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived in the things that are made. The psalmist spoke of this in Psalm 8 when he said, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name." Some of us were standing at the foot of Washpen Falls as part of our activities at camp over the weekend, this beautiful, majestic waterfall. And to get there, you first of all have to stand on this high, rocky outcrop, and you can look out over across the Canterbury Plains and the Port Hills. How wonderful to enjoy scenes like that and to join with the psalmist and say, "O Lord, when I look at your world, how majestic is your name." But of course, to know God as he has revealed himself means also knowing him through his special revelation, the living Word of God. Psalm 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." It is from Scripture and places like Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4 that we learn that God is holy, 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 thrice holy, and that the whole earth is full of His glory. It is from a place like Exodus 34, as Moses saw the revelation of God and heard Him speak, that we learn that God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. It is from a place like John 4:32 where we learn that God is a spirit. We cannot have a God of our own design. We must have this God who has revealed himself in his word. And this has very important implications for the way that we live the Christian life, for the way that we worship God. Now we will say more about the God who has revealed himself shortly, but to have God as your God is to recognize him as he has revealed himself. Secondly, to have God as your God is to choose God. We all know what favorites are and roses, and we all know that we then get to choose which chocolate we are going to unwrap and enjoy first, because that's our particular favorite. Well, we are to choose God. This is the language of Scripture. Joshua said this to the people of Israel. He said, "Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods you served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." To have God as your God is to choose God. Thirdly, to have God as your God is to live in covenant with Him. God is a God of relationship. He said, "I will be your God, you will be my people. I will be faithfully devoted to you, and you must be faithfully devoted to me." And of course, marriage serves to illustrate this very well. Just next week, Jonathan and Rachel, and in a few weeks' time, Morris and Carlene will answer this question: will you have this person to be your husband or wife, to live together in the covenant of marriage, and forsaking all others, to be faithful to her or him as long as you both shall live? So on the positive side of the equation, marriage is to be faithfully and exclusively devoted to one person. And on the negative side of the equation, everyone else is excluded from entering into this relationship. If a husband were to come home and say to his wife, "Darling, I would like you to meet my mistress, whom I love also. I would love for the two of you to be friends." We would not think a wife cruel for saying, "I want nothing to do with this. This is not what you promised." In the same way, God demands and deserves our exclusive devotion. And if you know the Old Testament, you will know that it was spiritual adultery that brought the Lord's judgment down on the people of Israel. Their desire to worship Him and the gods of the other nations. So to have God as your God is to live in covenant with Him. Fourthly, to have God as your God is to adore Him. At the beginning of all of our worship services, we hear a call to worship. The one we heard today went like this: "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." One of the most common words that translates as worship in the Bible literally means to bow down and to do homage, to show reverence and respect. And just as the honor that we would show to any human is in direct proportion to how much we revere and respect them, so our adoration of God has to do with how much we revere and respect Him. If you recognize that God is holy and majestic and glorious, and that it is from Him that you receive all things, you will be eager to adore Him, to bow down, to do homage, to revere and to respect Him. And so to have God as your God is to adore Him. Next, to have God as your God is to fear Him. We talked about this verse out at camp in one of our studies. Psalm 89, verse 6 and 7. "For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around Him." One commentator has said that fear of the Lord is the continual awareness that God is watching and weighing every one of my thoughts, words, actions, and attitudes. We have a good illustration of this in Joseph. In a room with Potiphar's wife as she was seeking to seduce and to tempt him, no one would have known. But Joseph said in Genesis 39, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph feared the Lord. To have God as your God is to fear Him. And then to have God as your God is to trust Him. The psalmist said in Psalm 56, verse 3, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in You." It's a very beautiful illustration of trust which came out of the 1988 Winter Olympics. That Olympics featured blind skiers doing downhill slalom. Just think about that for a moment. Paired with sighted skiers, the blind skiers were taught on the flat how to make right and left turns. And when that was mastered, they were taken to the slalom slope where their sighted partners skied beside them shouting, "Left and right!" And as they obeyed those commands, they were able to negotiate the tight turns and to cross the finish line, depending solely on the word of the sighted skiers. It was either complete trust or catastrophe. And there you have a vivid picture of the trust we are talking about. In this world, We are in reality blind so often to which course to take. We must rely solely on the word of the only one who is truly sighted, God Himself. His word gives us the direction to finish the course. And so to have God as your God is to trust Him. And finally on this point, to have God as your God is to love Him. To love Him. Exodus 20 verse 6, later in the commandments, God is a God who shows steadfast love to thousands of those who love Him and keep His commandments. What is the first and great commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all of your being. To love God is really a summary of everything we've already spoken. To fear Him, to adore Him, to worship Him. To have God as your God is to love Him. So to have God as your God is to recognize Him as He has revealed Himself in creation and in His Word, to choose Him, to live in covenant with Him, to adore Him, to fear Him, to trust Him, and to love Him. But now we have to go right back to the beginning and what we were saying about recognizing God as He has revealed Himself in the Word. And to do this, we have to take a journey from Mount Sinai, the Mount of Transfiguration, and then the Mount of Calvary. You see, it is on the Mount of Transfiguration that Jesus had gone up with three of His disciples, and there He was changed, and He became bright and shining like the sun. And the voice of God was heard from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, listen to Him." So when we come to Hebrews chapter 1, we learn there about the many ways that God spoke to His people throughout the days of the Old Testament. But then, with the coming of the Lord Jesus, we read, "But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature." It is though God is saying, "I have been giving you shadowy glimpses of who I am throughout the Old Testament. Now I want you to see Me exactly as I am. Look at My Son. He reveals Me perfectly and clearly." As you look at Him and believe that He is My Son and the Savior that you need, then you may know Me as your Father in heaven. Acts 4 verses 11 to 12 says this of Jesus: "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Some would like us to think that Christian, Jew, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, we all worship the same God. We just give Him a different name. That's not right. That's not true. God can only be known through the Lord Jesus Christ. But when He is known through the Lord Jesus Christ, He becomes our Father in heaven. So we must have God as our God. To have God as our God is to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who came to earn for us the forgiveness of sins. Secondly, though, we must have no other gods before Him. The preacher A.W. Pink said this means, "You shall have no other object of worship. You shall have no other authority as absolute. You shall make Me supreme in your hearts and in your lives." Now think about this in terms of the people of Israel. When God gave the law, the Ten Commandments, the people were about to enter the Promised Land. He told them that the land was rich, But he told them that there were also lots and lots of false gods and idols in there. And he said, don't worship those idols. Don't have anything to do with their ways of worship. Follow me, worship me alone. Burn and smash every idol you come into contact with. We read something about this earlier when we read from Psalm 115. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes, but they do not see. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. And there is this almost hilarious description of this in Isaiah 44 as the prophet talks about the fool who cuts down a tree and uses half of it to burn the fire, which he uses for the other half so that he can carve it out and then worship that idol. It's utter stupidity. Don't worship carved idols. Worship me. That's not all that Psalm 115 sets before us in terms of idolatry. It begins with these words, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Those words reveal that we can make the mistake of worshipping self. Perhaps you've heard mentioned before of the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. My comfort is all important. My needs trump everything else. Worship is what I want to get out of it. No, it is God alone who deserves glory and adoration and obedience. Remember also that Israel's particular problem was what we call syncretism. Yes, they wanted to worship God, but they also wanted the Baals, and they also wanted the Asherahs, and they also wanted Moloch. So as we think about this, we need to ask ourselves, are we worshiping God plus? Are we putting anything on the same level as God? Psalm 46 verse 10 says, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We are in danger of idolatry when we put anything else into that verse. When we add in our addictions, food, drink, whatever it might be, I need this. I am a slave to it. It is to me a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We make this mistake also when we include there anything that is good, that is given by the Lord for us to enjoy and benefit from, but we want to derive our joy and our completeness and our contentment from that thing. Could be marriage. Marriage is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And if my marriage is not going well, I'm just lost. So the question then is, what is the solution to idolatry? What are we to do? What is the Word of God set before us as a remedy for us putting anything else equal with God in terms of deriving meaning and joy from? Well, thinking back to what we said before about the Lord Jesus being the exact imprint of the nature of God, the author Ed Welch says this, God began to call his people out of idolatry in Eden by promising a Messiah and providing things that pointed his people to the Messiah. This work, however, became unmistakable when Jesus arrived and then went into the wilderness on our behalf and trusted his Father through the direst of tests and temptations. And then as the perfect substitute through his active and passive obedience, he bore the punishment of the law and he ascended in order to bring us to the Father. and He gave us the Spirit of power. Now, looking to Christ, we are able to do battle with our old slave masters rather than succumb to the inevitable. Now, the battle seems to move forward in very small steps, and the lure of the old gods can be felt longer than we would like, but with the fellowship of the Church of Christ, we fix our eyes on Jesus. And we insist on knowing Him until we can say with the psalmist, "There is nothing on earth that I desire besides You." And our friends are blessed, and they can say, "You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." And this happens as we heed the words of Christ that we read earlier from Matthew 6, verse 19. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And what is in view in those words is summarized in that very well-known hymn by Fanny Crosby: "Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but His love abideth ever through eternal years the same." Congregation, the solution to idolatry is best summarized by the words of 1 John 4, verse 19. "We love because He first loved us." It is as we come more and more to know and to experience God's love for us in the Lord Jesus Christ that we will more and more seek to know Him and choose Him and fear Him and adore Him and trust Him and love Him. And in this we are like springs of water. A spring is the best representative of the first commandment life, just as a stagnant pool of a selfish life. The pool that only receives clear water from the slope around it, giving forth nothing, eventually becomes the center of disease and death. It is ugly like the selfish life that it represents. The spring, on the contrary, pours out a continuing flood of that which refreshes and invigorates it. There is nothing more inspiring than a spring except the human life modeled on the spring. Why is a spring a spring? Because it is fed from a source much greater than itself. It is simply the means through which the source finds an outlet. Likewise, to have God as your God is to be a means through which the love of Christ flows into you and out of you onto the parched world of the sinners around you each day. So may God keep each one of us from being stagnant pools of idolatry and self, and cause us instead to be springs of love by which God refreshes others. Amen. We're going to sing by way of